દૈતેયા સુ દારુણા તે ચ ઉત્પન્નાઃ મનુષ્યેષુ પ્રજા દૃપ્તા બબાધિરે દેવાસુરાહ હતા દૈતેયા યે સુદારુના તે ચોત્પન્ના મનુષ્યેષુ પ્રજા દૃપ્તા બબાધિરે દેવાસુરાહ હતા દૈતેયા યે સુદારુના તે ચોત્પન્ન મનુષ્યેષુ પ્રજા દૃપ્તા બબાધિરે દેવાસુરાહ હતા દૈતેયા યે સુદારુના તે ચોત્પન્ન મનુષ્યેષુ પ્રજા દૃપ્તા બબાધિરે
માતાજી
દેવાસુરાવ હતા
દેવ અસુર અમંગ ધ ડેમીગોડ્સ એન્ડ ડિમન્સ આહવ ઇન વોર્સ હતા કિલ્ડ દૈતેયા ડિમન્સ એ હુ સુ વેરી દારુણા ફેરોશિયસ તે દે ચ એન્ડ ઉત્પન્ના અરોઝ મનુષ્યેષુ અમંગ હ્યુમન બીંગ્સ પ્રજા ધ પોપ્યુલેસ દૃપ્તા એરોગન બબાધીરે દે ટ્રબલ્ડ ટ્રાન્સલેશન બાય પ્રોપાસ ડિસાઇપલ ધ સેવેજ ડિસેન્ડન્ટ ઓફ દીતિ who had been killed in the past ages in battles between the demigods and demons took birth among the human beings and arrogantly harassed the general populace. Text 44. To subdue these demons, Lord Hari told the demigods to descend into the dynasty of Yadu. They comprised 101 clans, O king. Text 45. Because Lord Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead, the Yadavas accepted him as their ultimate authority. And among them, all those who were his intimate associates especially flourished. Text 46. The Vrishnis were so absorbed in Krishna consciousness that they forgot their own bodies while sleeping, sitting, walking, conversing, playing, bathing, and so on. Text 47. The heavenly Ganges is a holy place of pilgrimage because her waters wash Lord Krishna's feet. But when the Lord descended among the Yadus, his glories eclipsed the Ganges as a holy place. Both those who hated Krishna and those who loved him attained the eternal forms like his in the spiritual world. The unattainable and supremely self-satisfied goddess of fortune, for the sake of whose favor everything else struggles, belongs to him alone. His name destroys all inauspiciousness when heard or chanted. He alone has set forth the principles of various disciplic successions of sages. What wonder is it that he whose personal weapon is the will of time relieved the burden of the earth? Purport. From the beginning to end, the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam has been exclusively dedicated to reciting the pastimes of Lord Krishna in Vrindavan, Mathura and Dwarka. As Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti points out, this verse sums up the 10th canto by mentioning five special glories of Sri Krishna that even his expansions, plenary portions or incarnations do not display. First, Lord Krishna's reputation eclipsed that of the holy Ganges when he descended into the Yadu dynasty. Previous to this, Mother Ganges was the most sacred of the Tirthas, being the water that had bathed Lord Vamandev's lotus feet. Another river, Yamuna, became even greater than the Ganges by contacting the dust from Sri Krishna's feet in the districts of Vraja and Mathura. Ganga Shataguna Prayo Mathure Mama Mandale Yamuna Vishruta Devi Natra Karya Vicharana. The renowned Yamuna in my domain of Mathura is 100 of times greater than the Ganges. About this, there can be no dispute, O Goddess. Is from Varaha Puran. Second, Lord Krishna gave liberation not only to his surrendered devotees but also to those who considered themselves his enemies. Devotees like the cowherd girls of Vraja and other attained his personal association by entering into his eternal pleasure pastimes in the spiritual world, while inimical demons killed by him attained the Sayujya Mukti of merging into his divine form. When he was present on this earth, Lord Krishna's compassion extended to his family, friends and servants, and also to his enemies and their families, friends and servants. Great authorities like Lord Brahma have mentioned this fact. Sad veshad eva putanapi sakulatvam eva deva pita. My Lord, you have already given yourself to Putana and her family members simply because she dressed herself as a devotee. Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto 14th chapter 35th verse. Third, Goddess Lakshmi, Lord Narayan's constant companion, whom great demigods served menially to win her slight favor, was unable to win the privilege of joining the intimate company of Lord Krishna's devotee in Vraja. Despite her eagerness to participate in the rasa dance and the other pastimes enacted by Sri Krishna, and despite the severe austerities she underwent to achieve that end, she could not transcend her natural mood of reverence. The sweetness and intimacy of Lord Krishna manifested in Vrindavan constitute a unique kind of opulence found nowhere else, even in Vaikuntha. As Sri Uddhava says, Yan martya leelao paikam swayoga maya balam darshanata gritam vismapanam swasyacha sobhagardhre param padam bhushanam bhushanangam. To exhibit the strength of his spiritual potency, Lord Krishna manifested a form just suitable for his human-like pastimes in the material world. This form was wonderful even for him and was the supreme abode of the wealth of good fortune. Its limbs were so beautiful that they increased the beauty of the ornaments worn on different parts of his body. Shrimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, 2nd chapter, 12th verse. Fourth, the name of Krishna is superior to the name of Narayan and to those of all of Lord Krishna's other expansions. These two syllables, Krish and Na, combine together to destroy all inauspiciousness and illusion. When recited, the name of Krishna became Shruta Matha. That is to say, the recitation of Krishna's name totally crushes Mathnati. The excellence of all other spiritual practices described in the revealed scriptures, Shruta, Shruta Matha. In other words, of the Brahmanda Puran, Sahasranamanam Punyanam, Tirir Avritya Tu Yat Phalam, Ekavritya Tu Krishnasya, Namaikam Tad Prayashati. By uttering a single name of Krishna just once, one attains the same benefit as that gained by reciting Lord Vishnu's thousands names three times. Fifth, Lord Krishna solidly reinstated Dharma, the bull of religion, on his four legs of compassion, austerity, cleanliness, and truth. Thus, Dharma could alone again become Gotra, the protector of the earth. Sri Krishna also established the religious function of Govardhan Puja to honor his favorite hill, the cows and the Brahmanas. He also became the hill, Gotra, himself, assuming its form to accept the cowherd's offerings. Moreover, he cultivated the dharma or loving nature of Vraja's divine cowherds, Gotras, whose love for him has never been equaled. These are the few of the wonderful features of Lord Krishna's unique personality. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namah. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yutapada Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam tam sajivam sadvaitam savadhutam parijana sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitamsha Namom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpataru Bhesha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Upesha Gopika Kant
राधाकांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानोसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे।
हरे कृष्ण। फर्स्ट ऑफ ऑल आई वुड लाइक टू सीक द ब्लेसिंग्स ऑफ ऑल द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज एज वेल एज दोज हु आर लिसनिंग इट ऑनलाइन सो दैट आई कैन स्पीक समथिंग फॉर माय purification as well as enlightenment and serve you in some insignificant way. We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto 19th chapter from text 43 to 47. We are at the end of the 10th canto where Lord Krishna's pastimes are about to get over and this is a summary of Lord Krishna's glories or his pastimes. In the beginning of 10th canto, this is what is given in 43rd and 44th verse also. The various demons appeared in the human forms on this earth, earthly planet, and they started harassing the sages, the demigods, the human populace on the earth. And all the demigods went to Lord Brahma and eventually to Lord Vishnu for the help. And what was the first instruction Lord Vishnu gave? That's given in 44th verse. That Lord told them to take birth in the Yadu dynasty. Very interesting. Whenever we are in trouble and we go to seek solution from someone, we expect the solution to be something like ready to mix. Immediately solution should be given, I should apply it and I should get over the problem. But Krishna's help is very unique. The demigods went to him with a problem and he said, you take birth in the Yadu dynasty. So Krishna doesn't give the help ready-made. He doesn't spoon-feed it. He wants us to actively do something. And that requires a lot of faith also. Because he said that, you go ahead, I will come from behind. I will appear there. I will take an incarnation in order to relieve your problem. And when they came, few of the Yadus came beforehand only. And there was no relief from the problem. In fact, the torture by the demons was no end, seems to be. And on top of that, when Krishna appeared, now okay, at least Krishna has appeared in the prison cell of Kamsa and now our problem will be solved. The first instruction he gives that, take me to Vrindavan or Gokul. So there doesn't seem to be any end to the problem. And for 11 years he stays in Gokul without solving the problem. So it requires a lot of faith when we ask Krishna some help. It requires a giant leap of faith that he is definitely going to help us. So Yadu didn't lose the faith. And then Krishna eventually helped them. And this 47th verse, there are very nicely Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out the five special glories of Krishna. First glory, he says that Krishna's reputation is greater than the Ganges after Krishna appeared. Before Krishna's appearance, the Ganges had a huge reputation. She was very popular. But after Krishna's appearance, the reputation of Krishna's pastimes or Krishna's reputation has increased. Why? Because in first canto, in one purport, Prabhupada writes, Ganges only purifies when we go personally and take bath in the Ganges. But in case of Krishna, Om apavitro pavitro va sarva avasthangato apiva yah smaret pundarikakshasa bahyabhyantara shuchi. Whether we are in pure stage, impure stage, just by the remembrance of Krishna can purify us. Ganges purify only after taking bath, but Krishna's remembrance, Krishna's pastimes, hearing pastimes of Krishna, Krishna's holy name, they purify just by remembrance. Not only that, even Krishna's devotee also has that power. Just by associating with Krishna's devotee, we get purified. That's the speciality of Krishna and Krishna's reputation or his devotee's reputation. So this is the first quality which here it's mentioned, that Krishna's reputation is greater than the Ganges. Second quality which is mentioned is supreme compassion of Krishna. How Krishna is compassionate. Just to give an example. Suppose somebody hates us. We don't get along with that person. He's envious or we are envious of him. We don't like to see his face. And always, whenever that person comes in front of us, we feel obnoxious or hated. That person is also too much envious of us. How many of us would like to go to his house and have food there? Or go and visit his house? Nobody. Usually, at least I will not like to go and visit that person who is envious of me. But the compassion of Krishna, supreme compassion of Krishna. This material world is filled with the people who are envious of him. All of us have come here just because of envy. Krishna still makes it point to come to this world. That is the supreme compassion of Krishna. Nobody likes him here. In fact, before his birth, the people of this world derived the plan to kill him. That when he is going to take birth, okay, these are the plans. He somehow comes out of that also. But after that also, people are ready to deride him. People are ready to harm him. Nobody wants to listen to him. Still, he makes it point to come to this world in different incarnations. That is the supreme compassion of Krishna. And not only that, the point here Vishwanath Chakur Thakur mentions is that he gives liberation to both devotees and demons. That's another side of compassion of Krishna. Famous verse that Putna Aho Bakyam Stanakalukutam. The person who came to kill him, he gave liberation. So this is the second glory of Krishna, that his supreme compassion cannot be matched. We can't match that compassion. Third glory is that sweetness and intimacy which Krishna exhibited in Vrindavan is of the highest degree. That's why Lord Chaitanya says, Aradhya Bhagwan Brajeshatanya Taddhama Vrindavano. No other incarnations. Even if you see in outside world also, about different gods, people put different pictures or photographs in their houses. What are the most common pictures or photos they keep in houses? About God I am talking of. About God I am talking of. Well, so Ganesh is sitting there on one place, or Hanumanji carrying Lakshmi. But if nobody will find that, no God's picture with the childhood pastimes are kept. Only Krishna's childhood pastimes pictures are there. Krishna stealing butter, playing the flute, herding the cows. Because they are so attractive, so intimate, that it steals the heart. So, Taddhama Vrindavana, that play, even not only Krishna is worshipable, but the place you perform the pastime, that is also worshipable. And in that, there is sweetness. Why? Because when the sweetness is experienced, when the person give up his higher position and behave as if a normal or very humble way, that increases the sweetness of the pastime. Here is the Krishna who is the supreme person of Godhead, but he is playing like a normal small boy, getting defeated by his friends, getting chastised by his lovers or friends or parents. So God giving up his godhood and performing the pastimes like a human, that increases sweetness. And that intimacy and sweetness is only available in Vrindavan. So that's why the Vrindavan, the residence of Vrindavan, the Vrindavan Dham itself is a worshipable. That's the sweetness and intimacy of Krishna's pastime. The fourth one, the special glories of Krishna mentioned in purport, is the name of the Lord. During this Samudra Manthan Leela, when the halal poison came out, Lord Shiva drank that poison. But that poison was so hot, his throat, his whole body, his existence started burning. So how to come out of that burning sensation, how to come out of that heat? So his father-in-law, Himalaya, he said, you come and stay with me because I am very cool, my whole abode is very cool, filled with ice. You will be very cool, your heat will go away. So he goes and stays there. Despite of staying in Himalaya, his heat was not going away. He was still feeling hot. So the Ganges said, if you hold me, because I am very cool and I am also water body, so you will feel coolness. So he held the Ganges on his head in order to become cool, relieved from the heat of the poison. Still the heat was not going away. Then the moon said that, I am the most cooling planet. I give the coolness to everyone. So if you hold me on your head, your existence will be cool. So he held the moon on his head, but still he was not feeling cool. So the snakes, they said that snakes are a cold-blooded animal. If you allowed us to wrap your body at different places, you will feel cool. So allow us to do that. So he said, okay, no problem. So few on neck, few on hands and different parts of the body. Still Lord Shiva was not relieved by the heat of that poison. And ultimately, what he did? He just chanted the name of Lord Ram. And his whole existence was cooled. That is the power of the holy name of the Lord. That it purifies the existence. It tapat trayon mulanam. It relieves us from the distress. So, from Brahmanda Purana and Padma Purana, this purport also explains about Brahmanda Purana verse. Thousands in names of Lord Vishnu is equal to the benefit which you get by reciting the thousands in names of Lord Vishnu is equal to the one name of Lord Ram. And the benefit which you derived from reciting one name of Krishna is equal to benefit derived from three names of Lord Ram. That's how the Brahmanda Purana verse says that if you chant the name of Krishna, it is like chanting 3,000 names of Lord Vishnu. That is another special characteristic of Krishna. And fifth glories of Krishna is that he reinstated dharma. Very, very nice and very important aspect of his appearance. Everybody knows this shloka, yada yadai dharmasya. Whenever there is a decline of religious principle, he comes. Lord Krishna personally appears. But just like, if suppose somebody has a cancer, cancerous growth is there in his body or her body, the doctor has to remove the cancer, either by surgery, by chemotherapy, or by radiotherapy, whatever therapy it may be. Removing the cancer is one aspect of the treatment. You can't just remove the cancer only. But making person healthy or giving him a diet in a such way that he can again become healthy and cancer's growth doesn't happen, that is another aspect of a treatment. Both aspects of the treatments are required. Not just removing cancer, but before removing cancer also we have to prepare for that person to remove the cancer. Similarly, killing the demon or miscreant is like a removing cancer. But that will not help to reinstate the dharma. Some positive thing has to be given so that dharma can be again reinstated. And that is what Krishna's special glory is, that he gave the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. Even before surgery, before the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Krishna gave the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. What after surgery, what to be done, how to be done. So, for dharma to be reinstated, the knowledge of what to be done and how to be done is very important in order for that dharma to remain solid or remain firm. So, only Krishna gave knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. Lord Ram, he just showed by his example. Another incarnation just came and killed the demons. But this is a special characteristic of Krishna. He reinstated dharma on its four leg. So, these are the five special features of Krishna's pastimes. And today, being the Varaha Dwadashi, where Krishna came to reinstate dharma or to kill the demons, to annihilate the demons, he appeared. And shortly we'll try to see the pastimes of Varadev. In the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, this pastime is very elaborately mentioned. Whatever time permits, we'll try to see it. So, beginning happens that Lord Brahma creates Chatushkumar, and Chatushkumar, he asks them to help him to procreate the world. They refused it. Then he creates Rudra, but Rudra starts procreating or increasing population in different directions, so he says, stop it. Then comes Manu and Satrupa. He creates both of them. And as soon as Manu appears along with his wife, he, with a folded hand, he approached Brahma and he said, please order us how we may render service unto you. Manu says, please give us direction for the execution of a duty within our capacity, so that we can achieve fame in this life and the progress in the next life. Very nice prayers he is offering to Brahma. Three important things. He said, with direction for the execution of duty, direction is very important. Without direction, we might be doing many activities, but if there is no direction, the activity becomes useless. So he said, with a direction. Then second, he says, within our capacity, how much we can bite, how much we can handle, that much, according to that capacity, give us the order. But for what? To achieve fame in this life and progress in the next life. Whatever activity, this one verse very nicely elaborates it. Whatever activity we are going to perform in this life has to have these two purposes. One, in this life also we should achieve the fame or progress or perfection, and in the next life also we are preparing for it. So when Manu says that, Brahma becomes very pleased. Why? Because he is the first son now who is ready to follow the order. In Srimad Bhagavatam this comes, that when the son follows the order of father, father becomes very pleased. In the ninth canto, we have Parshuram. When his father, Jamadagni, he comes to know his wife, Renuka, had committed some offense, and he asked the other son to kill her. They refused it. And he asked Parshuram to kill both son and both his brothers and mother. He immediately agrees it. And Jamadagni becomes very pleased. Or we have another example of Lord Ram. He followed the order of his father of going to the forest. Why it's important to follow the order of superior? It said that when you follow the order of the superior elders, especially the father here in the case, we get the blessings. Blessings are very integral part of spiritual life. With our effort, we can achieve the success. But in order to sustain the success, we require the blessings. Otherwise, success will not be sustained. We'll lose that success. But we also have opposite examples. We have Chatushkumar. They didn't follow the order of their father. When Brahmaji said that, okay, help me to increase the population, they said, sorry, we are not for it. Or we have in 7th canto the example of Prahlad Maharaj. He also refused to follow the order of his father to become an asur. Why? There are two reasons why these people didn't follow the order of their fathers. First, because they denied it for the higher purpose. And second, they didn't deny it out of envy. It was not that they were envious of their fathers or superiors, that's why they denied to follow the order. Prabhupada writes beautiful line in this purport. He says that those who disobey their orders, their father's order on material ground are surely subjected to the disciplinary reaction for such disobedience. I will repeat it again. Those who disobey their fathers, the order of their fathers, on the material grounds are surely subjected to disciplinary reactions for such disobedience. So it's very important that when we disobey the order of superior, whether am I doing it out of envy or am I doing it on material ground? This has to be checked by ourselves. So Brahma became very happy. He said, oh hero, your example is quite befitting to the son in relationship with the father. And one who is beyond envy and who is a saint, who accepts the order of his father with a great delight and execute it with full capacity. So I am very happy. So Brahma gave 3 orders to this Manu. He said, beget the children qualified like yourself in the womb of your wife. That is the first instruction. Second instruction, rule the world in the principles of the devotional service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And third instruction, worship the Supreme Lord by the process of yajna. He said, first is, beget the children like yourself, who are obedient, who follow the orders of the superior, who are religious, who are ready to render service, that kind of qualities. In the womb of your wife, that is the duty of the son. In order to get a repay, try to repay, not even able to fully repay, but in order to repay the debt of forefathers, this is the prime duty of the person in the grihastha ashram, to beget the children who are good in qualities. Pitru runa. So first order is a duty of son. Second, to rule the world, the whole citizen, on the principles of devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the duty of the king. First is the duty of the son. Second is the duty of the king. Why? As we know in Bhagavata, yadyada acharya sreshta. Because if king is following the devotional principle, automatically the citizen will also become devotees. They will also follow the devotional principles in their life. So that is the duty of king. And third, he says, worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead by performance of yajna. Because that was Satya Yuga, the process of worshipping the Lord was yajna. So he said that worship the Lord by that process. That is the duty of a human. As a human being of personal deliverance, he has to worship the Lord according to the process which was given for that current age. So through the Mano, Brahma is also trying to say that this is how we should also try to perform our different duties. Not that, okay, I'm a devotee, so I don't have to perform other duties or obligations. No. Everybody has to try to, as much as possible, perform this obligation. So then Brahma says, if you give proper protection to the citizen, that will be the greatest service to me, and that will please the Supreme Lord. So here another principle comes that immediate to Manu is Brahma, who is giving him order. If he we do service to him, he becomes pleased, automatically Supreme Lord becomes pleased. And next sentence is that, if Janardhan is not satisfied, then whatever labor of advancement one does is just futile. And when I read this sentence, I was just reflecting. We try to do devotional service, try to come for Mangal Arati, try to chant the holy name, try to serve the devotees, try to read the scripture, try to preach to the people about the message of God, and so many different services. What is the prime aim of all these services? To please the Supreme Lord. That is the only, we are endeavoring, we are working so hard with that aim only. That my endeavor, my little bit efforts, my struggle will please the Lord. And once he is pleased, then my existence is successful. That's the only purpose. But over the period of time, at least in my case, that goal just shifts away. And instead of pleasing Krishna, I try to put myself in that situation. And if somebody comes, okay, Prabhu, can you do this service? The first priority is that, what benefit or will it please me? Instead of Krishna being pleased for that service, I become, will it please me? Will it make me happy? So that goal starts shifting to, instead of Krishna, to myself. But here, Brahma is saying very nice point. He said that, if Janardhan is not satisfied by our endeavor, then whatever endeavor we make for advancement is just futile. It's of no use. So he said that, please do these things for me. And the next question Manu asks, okay, I'm ready to do the service. But please let me know my place and the place of all the living entities whom I'm going to create. Because earth has submerged into the Garbhodak Ocean. Then Brahmaji realized, he started thinking, I was so busy in creation that the earth was deluged, or because of pralaya, the earth went down to the bottom of Garbhodak Ocean. Now how to take it back? He started thinking. He started contemplating. And to this shloka, Prabhupada gives a purport of only two lines, but it's very powerful purport. He said that the devotees of the Lord, who are confidential servitors, are sometimes perplexed in the discharge of their respective duties, but they are never discouraged. Very, very nice line. That while performing devotional service, sometimes you become perplexed. What to do, what not to do. But they never become discouraged. In the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita, this picture of perplexion by the Arjun comes. He's completely perplexed what to do. And this is going to happen in everyone's life. Every one of us will be perplexed at some point of time. Because that is how this material nature is created. This is material nature is functioning. This is how it's function. We will be put in a situation where we'll be perplexed what to do, what not to do. It's very easy to differentiate between good and bad, but it's very difficult to differentiate between two bads or two goods. What to do? We'll be perplexed. But he said that, Prabhupada says that, but they are never discouraged. Why? Because they have full faith in the Lord. Discouragement means we have no faith in Lord, that he is going to help us. So perplexion is okay, but discouragement means
It's kind of atheism only, no faith in the Lord or his help. So then, while Brahma was thinking like this, suddenly from his nostril, Angushta Parimanakaha, the size of upper portion of the thumb, a small boar whose size is just upper portion of thumb, comes out of his nostril. And suddenly in front of everybody's eyes in the sky, that form, which was just a small upper portion of the thumb, becomes Gajamatra, huge gigantic elephant. And when the sages and Brahma saw that form, they started thinking, who is he? Is he some extraordinary living entity? Is he some supernatural entity? Is it some god? Is it some supreme personality of Godhead? So when Lord Bor or Varahadev saw that these people are thinking like this, he immediately roared loudly like a tumultuous mountain. And Prabhupada gives in purport why he roared. First he roared to give them assurance that, oh yeah, I am the supreme personality of Godhead. Don't worry. I am here to take care of it. And second, to give them assurance that now the earth has fallen at the bottom of ocean, I am going to retreat back. So don't be perplexed. I will take care of that job. I will deliver the earth. And then they started offering the prayers to Lord Varaha. So the earth planet has gone below the Rasatal on the Garbhodak Ocean, at the bottom of Garbhodak Ocean. But Jan and Tapar Lok, these people are still there. Their sages are still there. They started offering prayers to the Lord. And beautiful prayers are there. One after another, they offer the prayers. And at the end of prayer, Lord Varaha again roared very loudly in response to their prayers, that I have accepted your prayers. And they knew that, okay, he has to do his job of taking out the earth. So he flew in the sky with his hooves. He just scattered the clouds. He started slashing his tail, exactly like what the boar or pig does. He started quivering his hairs, and then he jumped in the water. Like elephant jumps or dives, he dived in that Garbhodak Ocean. As soon as he dived, the water parted and it became two big waves. And Bhagavatam mentions, these big waves are like the two hands of the ocean which are offering prayers to Lord Varaha. And he dived deeply. Varaha is a personification of Veda. Because Vedas are considered to be breath of the Supreme Lord. When Supreme Lord breathed out, that was Veda. And Brahma took that breath inside of that Veda. And from the nostril of Brahma, Varaha came. So Varaha is a personified of Veda. Because the Veda is the breath of Vishnu. Brahma took that inside, and from Brahma's nose, nostril, this Varaha came. So he started searching the earth. How to search? How you are searching? Just like a pig search through his nose, smelling, he started searching like that. So whenever Lord come in any form, he performed the activity like that form only. Because he was a Varaha in a pig form, he was smelling and finding out, as normally that entity does it. Or when he came as a Narsingadev, and Prahlad came in front of him, he put Prahlad on his lap and he started licking it, because lion licks to show the love. So he started licking it. So Lord performed perfect role of that incarnation. And then, diving deep inside the ocean, he saw the earth lying. And he lifted the earth. When he lifted the earth, suddenly this conversation is happening between Maitreya and Vidur. Because Vidur asked the Maitreya Muni to describe this pastime. And he lifted the earth, and suddenly Hiranyaksha came and he challenged Lord Varahadev. Varahadev turned to Hiranyaksha first, but he kept on doing his job for what he has come. He reinstated the earth in its orbit, in its position, and then killed Hiranyaksha. and that's how pastime overs. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that Maitreya Muni, or Prabhupada also says in quoting Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in the purport, Maitreya Muni has mixed these two incarnations. Varaha incarnate, there are two Varahas. The Varaha which came out of Brahma's nostril during the Swayambhu Manu is a Shvet Varaha. He just reinstated the earth, that's it. And second Varaha which killed Hiranyaksha happened in Chakshush Manvantar, which is seventh Manu. And that Varaha came out of water, not from the nostril of Brahma. And that Varaha is Neel Varaha. So Shvet Varaha and Neel Varaha. So, but Maitreya Muni mixed these two in order to, okay, fast forward the pastime. But the Vidur says, wait. You said that he appeared from the nostril of Brahma, reinstated earth and killed it. I want to hear, why did how this Hiranyaksha came in picture? What happened between these two? How they fight? What was exactly enmity? And then in next chapter, he starts explaining the whole pastime. But we are out of time or near to complete the time, and the pastime is very long one. I will not go in detail. But in short, then Hiranyaksha appears, the birth of Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu was given through the Diti and Kashyap, and the fight between Varaha, and very nice pastime. If you get time today, please go through it. Very wonderful, very instructive. And then finally, Varadev kills the Hiranyaksha by just touching at the root of his ear with his front leg. He just touch it and Hiranyaksha is dead. And the last thing he says that, Brahmaji, when he sees that Hiranyaksha is dead, he sees that the bodily luster of Hiranyaksha is still there. He was amazed. And there Prabhupada writes in purport that because he was touched, whenever he writes first, when the soul leaves the body luster goes away. Because the soul which gives the luster to the body. But because he was touched by the Supreme Lord, even the soul has left the body, his body luster was still there. And same thing, our existence will have the luster or have the value when we are touched by Krishna. So on this auspicious day of Varadvadashi, we can pray to Varadev to kill those demons which are residing in our heart, just like Hiranyaksha trying to enjoy or exploit the material nature. These demons are in our heart. We can pray to Varadev to kill these demons so that we can serve him in a better way. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Grantharashyamad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.